Cool. All right. Well, Mac, we please have a one-word prompt.
Go with dog.
Dog.
In my peripheral right now.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember a dog in this movie. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Wrong choice, Matt. I'm a cat person. It's not, we don't do dogs over here.
And wrong
Did
choice
it on
for
purpose.
You, CJ. Yeah.
I guess it is 2 against 1 in this.
Yeah.
I was dealing with one of our cats kept puking, and I don't know if you guys know this, but cats like to kind of run away before they're about to cough up a hairball. So you literally have to like chase after them so they don't puke on the carpet.
What? Hold on 1 second. Hey, welcome to the Over Talking Podcast with your hosts, Ken and CJ. Say hi, CJ.
Hi, CJ.
This is the show where we talk over TV shows and movies as chosen by our guests. And this week we watched 2023's The Holdovers.
That's right.
Academy Award winning.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti. Getting some cred where cred's due.
I don't think he won, but he
not
was nominated.
He got some other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he got some other stuff. Yeah. So wait, why did they run away before they puke?
I don't know. But it's kind of the first sign is like you can tell their behavior is being weird. They're kind of like darting around a little bit, and you're like, uh oh, what's going on here? And then they like to like scurry into a corner or something like that. So that they can
They're
cough
like embarrassed
up their hair
by it.
Like, yeah,
no, no,
maybe.
Please don't look. No.
Yeah. And so sometimes you just have to kind of like put your hands on their side and gently like kind of hold them so they don't puke on carpet. So it's easier to clean up. So that was my day today. Literally like run at he tried to like go under a couch and I was like, no, please. I can't reach under there to clean us up. Get back over here.
Oh my God. Oh, I went into work for the first time in forever yesterday. Which meant leaving Bailey, our dog, home alone. And Meg came home before I did, but apparently she was pissed and literally pissed 3 times on the carpet while I was away. So, yeah, that was fun.
Let's introduce our guest because something tells me he's probably got some stories.
Probably.
We're joined once again by Matt Eladese.
Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Hey, Matt, welcome back.
Not so good about the bodily functions of your animals, but hopefully they're still all healthy and happy.
I think he better be happy.
Probably.
Yeah, we had some snuggles after that later in the day. So.
Oh, that's good.
It's hard to tell if it was either the cat or it was only trying to help you yourself after a night of drinking. Find
Sometimes
a place
I
to,
get, yeah, I get agitated. I don't, yeah,
you
there's a shame
corner.
Element. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the bathroom. The bathroom.
All right, fine.
Matt, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a blue heeler who is 99% energy.
So, oh, wow. Nice.
She loves Jealous. To. Her puking comes from just like, you know, a child who's running around after having a big meal and then throws up from excitement. That's hers.
Nice.
Are you too familiar with the phrase scarf and barf? Is that like a known thing?
No, but I love
it. I am not. I want it now.
Oh, that's... So our other cat has been doing that lately where they like to eat dinner super quickly and then immediately barf it up because they just like scarfed it down so fast.
Nice.
So yeah, it's been a fun couple days in this household cleaning up puke.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of cleaning up puke, Segway. That happens in this movie. So we're going to talk about the holdovers. And more coming up on the Over Talking Podcast.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a 2-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the holdovers.
Mr. Hunnam.
Hello, Mary.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Even you is already one big detention.
Son of a...
We're back. We're talking podcast. Joined once again by returning guest Matt Eladese, and we're talking about the holdovers. Matt, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock for you to describe for someone who's not yet seen the holdovers without spoiling it because it's a pretty big movie right now. What it's all about.
Ready, go.
All right. So this will be your new Christmas favorite movie to watch as you watch a professor with disdain for youth and youth with disdain for authority learn to get along together and a woman deals with her grief.
Wow, you still have half your time left.
That was the best way I could put it.
Yeah,
that was
warm
really good.
Warm and exciting. Think Dead Poets Society, but Christmas.
Yeah.
All right, time. Well done.
That's it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there really isn't that much here. It's
without spoiling it, obviously.
Yeah.
Without spoiling it. Sure. There's plot beats and stuff, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah. Matt, have you gone to boarding school or anything like that?
No. For me, I always thought that was just a movie thing growing up.
Didn't actually exist in
a small
in real
town
life.
In Southern. Yeah, I was like, that's not a thing, right? That's like Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
It's not common, at least, right? I mean, I'm sure they exist, but I don't know anyone who's ever gone to boarding school. Probably because I attended public school. That's gotta be why.
It does feel very much like more of a East Coast rich people thing to do.
Right. Because you got to pay for room and board, too, on top of a school that you also have to pay for that is private.
I think that's the board in boarding school.
That's the board. That's the board part.
Hey, you tired of your kids? Just send them to full-time school. It's fine. There's other kids. They can play.
Get them out of here.
You don't hate them enough to send them to military school, but you still
want
them
to go away. But if you do, have we got a great program with our sister school?
Right.
Ken, Matt, I don't know how much you will appreciate this, but this has basically become a Fast and Furious podcast, even though we discuss other movies.
Yeah.
So last week on the show, I had an idea of playing a sort of, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but now we're just going to do 6 degrees of Fast and Furious.
Oh, man.
And I have one.
For Paul Giamatti?
It's 1 degree.
Oh, no.
Really?
Okay.
Wait, don't tell me. Hold on. I want to think about it just for a second, and we can edit this out.
I can even give you a hint.
Yeah. I need the hint. Please. No,
we even mentioned this movie on last week's episode.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, is he in Saving Private Ryan?
He is. Paul Giamatti plays Sergeant Hill in Saving Private Ryan, and Vin Diesel plays Private Caparzo.
Wow.
There's a 1 degree Fast and Furious separation.
The degrees are probably pretty low for any movie, just based on the number of people that are in the Fast franchise.
I feel like that movie specifically, Saving Private Ryan, has like so many famous people in it that are in even small parts. Well, there you go.
I'm rewatching it soon.
I hope you enjoyed that new segment.
I personally
excited for it.
That we for sure will remember to do every single episode from here on out.
Just like we remember to check the reviews and everything else.
Yeah.
Matt, why did you choose The Holdovers? And did you choose The Holdovers? Because
there's a
sneaky thing that's been going on this podcast.
I was just thinking about, I'd just seen Poor Things recently, another great film, and looking into like cinematography, like techniques and maneuvers and stuff. And I remember really enjoying The Holdovers technique. I was like, I would love to discuss that one a bit more. I know Poor Things is like the hot one. I'm sure somebody's going to have a great episode about it. But
I hope so.
I wanted a little bit more of the coziness of The Holdover since it just got a little chilly again here in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm glad that we did this on this podcast because I meant to watch it during December because it's, kind of a Christmas movie. Not really, but it is. And I wanted to watch it then, but it just fell off my radar. And it's still good, even though it's not Christmas time. It's really good.
Yeah. And I think you described it perfectly using the word cozy. That is this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cozy.
There's a warmth to it from the coloring to the textures that they used. They accomplished it. I think one person described it the best. It's like a movie that you find in either yours or your dad's garage, like on an old canister that you throw on. Like, hey, good son, come here. Check out this movie. It was big in theaters when I was a kid.
I like that. What you mentioned the cinematography, probably in more respects to Poor Things, but what about the cinematography did you like for The Holdovers too?
I thought they really went all in. I'm sure you guys have noticed there's been kind of this huge trend of like, while we do have the highest, point of technology with our digital cameras and everything, there's a lot of like wanting to have more of the crispiness of old film textures. There's like a fancy word, I forget what they'd call it, some sort of textural classicism or something like that that's going about. And The Holdovers went all in, from the title cards looking like back in the 70s, the way they did the sound. It wasn't just like, hey, let's throw a film gradient thing on top of it and it'll look kind of nice. Now they went like all in for the experience, and I respected that.
Yeah, to the point where when I turned it on, I was like, oh, is this the right movie? I knew it was set in the 70s, but then I was like, well, wait, is this, hopefully this is right. And then finally Paul Giamatti came out. I was like, all right, good.
There it is.
This is right. Yeah. But yeah, I loved that, man. I love the crunchy, like film grain, everything about mm-hmm. it. It's perfect.
The soft zooms they did felt like very much those mm-hmm. old movies. Very like soft music in the background. There's like a slow zoom in on something as the opening credits start.
So yeah. Good. There was, I think it's Paul Giamatti standing in front of a building that felt very like Wes Anderson too. It's very centered and then kind of zooms in on it. And yeah, I also really enjoyed the like 70s title cards. And I had to Google what the aspect ratio is because it was like not quite 4x5, but not. It's 1.66x1.
Okay.
Which like I feel like you don't see that very often either.
No, I wonder if that's specific film stock kind of aspect ratio.
Yeah.
But yeah, that definitely helped to make it feel of the time.
It was a fun exercise apparently for the crew itself, the colorists and cinematographer, that the director kind of removed some of their tools from it. Like, you can't use the latest stuff. You got to use some of the stuff that they had available or that might have been available. So they said it was challenging, but that's how you get kind of more of the honest experience of it. The lights are a bit more fuzzy than they can normally be in sharpness. The sound too. I don't know if you noticed the sound. It just kind of sounded a little muffled, but cozy. Again, I just keep going back to cozy. It was a warm feeling to it. And it was just from them not being able to like, come on, let me just press the button. There's modern button that lets us do it. Yeah.
It's as if it's you putting on a vinyl record and you're getting the warm buzzing.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I did too. I mean, I wish more movies did this, even though I don't really want it to become overplayed. But like another movie that comes to mind is House of the Devil. That was a horror movie that did something very similar, even with the same like old title cards and stuff like that. I don't know. I love all that.
I think even X had the classic intros as well. That was another one. A little more sharper, like zoom in to that horror effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, really nice. There's going to be one director, though, that's like, screw this. And using the most modern thing is going to feel like you're right there. I want it crisp. You can see the pores, people's skin.
That'd be Nolan, wouldn't it? Even filming everything in like IMAX.
The first double IMAX film is coming.
You have to rotate in your chair to see everything around, like a little joystick.
Oh my God.
Did you see that part? I didn't. It's still over here.
Yeah, it's behind, coming, though. Behind you. It's over your left shoulder.
Which, I don't want to be here anymore. And then that's when actors actually come out of the doors to be around you and massage you gently.
That's like right. 4D experience, they say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm sure. Yeah. It's got it like, they're kind of getting there with the Sphere in Vegas already, is like becoming more of a bubble in a surrounding spot.
Which I cannot wait. I've heard that it will watch your plane land or watch some of the planes land into Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I want a trip there just to do that. I want to stare.
I've seen that video.
Giant emoji.
That's awesome. I heard that like not every seat is like you even see everything.
Yeah.
Like, you're under an overhang for like 25% of the seats there.
Yeah. Which I think is insane. That like,
yeah.
And
you have to get out of your seats and go towards to look
right. Walk into the hallway. Yeah. I heard too that like you don't quite know that when you're buying your seats either.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know what it says
like, you know, obstructed view or whatever.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A view from it. It's one of those previews. You look up, just ass in the seat.
Well, I mean, like speaking of like Sphere, like content, I guess if that is to become a theater type you can go to, I mean, they make movies now for VR that are kind of like that though,
it's
right?
True.
It's more personal, but I don't know if that'll take off with like the Meta Quest 3 or whatever coming out. That should be pretty mass marketable.
I had the very slimmed down version of like Google's thing where it's just you're taking your phone and like putting it in a little headset. And one, it feels like then your phone is on fire if you're doing anything longer than a half hour because the screen is on like full brightness and pumping a video in. And then I think that was as long as I could last because then I would start to get a headache because the screen is, you know, inches away from your face.
which you have to scurry away and throw up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not on the carpet. Dedicated things are a little better, but
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to get into it. I'm sure
Disney has something in the works. You take the headset off and there's a character actually sitting in your lap.
I do enjoy watching the videos on Instagram of people like running into furniture and breaking shit and stuff like that. There's a guy that I will occasionally watch his Twitch streams, this Australian comedian, Tom Walker, who he will then say like, ow, I just punched the ceiling, like just, like in his basement streaming and stuff like that. It's very entertaining. He's very bad at it too, which helps.
Who would have a really tough time though with these VR touches? Paul Giamatti's character, the professor.
With his eye.
That's right.
Which eye switches over to. It got to the point where I Googled, does Paul Giamatti have a glass eye? Have I never noticed?
I wondered it initially too. Because it's very convincing.
It's been a while since I've seen a movie of his, and it was extremely.
I've been listening to him go on like talk shows and interviews and stuff like Paul Giamatti, by the way, fellow podcaster. I don't know if you guys know that. He has
I do know. Please talk about his podcast.
It's pretty good. But apparently on set, it was a contact lens that for the eye effect. And there's a dedicated person that's like the kind of contact
eye wrangler.
Lens. Yeah, like eye wrangler. Because there were a lot of like safety issues, naturally, as you're putting something into his eye. And he was saying that like, they're shooting outside and there was a chance that it could like, you know, freeze to his eyeball or something like that. And
what?
That would be bad.
It's just,
or something.
A contact, right?
I don't know, but it's probably not like quite, you know, a contact like you would put in for your glasses.
Yeah.
Because it has an effect. It's opaque. It's an eye drawn onto it and stuff.
I saw that there were other safety issues with like, I mean, he's half blind when he has that in, right?
So yeah, like, he can't
when
see.
When he's driving a car, he can't really see where he's going. Oh my God.
Which also, gotta love the 70s, just openly drinking and driving constantly.
So not many things, just, it's fine.
Yeah.
Smoking indoors, smoking at the movies, heavily drinking, children in bars, but he gets a burger and a Coke, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Just getting approached by prostitutes, you know, that's a normal thing.
Well, she was just looking for a date, a warm date.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
She just wanted a party, Ken. What's wrong with that?
He was just looking for a little candy cane, as they put it, which is my favorite reference that he continues throughout.
Also, what's going on with that outdoor book sale in the snow? Aren't those books ruined? It's actually snowy, right?
Yeah. I'd like to buy this one, but not for full price, as a giant snowflake just fell on it.
Yeah.
Half the page, it's soaking wet.
Why are we outside?
Yeah. They're all stuck together now. The ink is bled through all
frozen
the pages.
Shut.
It's not a sale. We had a flood in the building. I'm trying to move the inventory out. Please stop taking the books.
Trying to air them out. Can you imagine getting to take like a field trip just like to another city for fun? You're like, all right, we're going on a field trip where we just get to hang out at a hotel and walk
around. Not only
around
that,
the
but inside the car. Of your professor,
yeah.
Just being in the back seat the entire time, but not only professor, but not to diminish her role, but the cafeteria manager.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to a museum.
I don't know if I would have high school me would have even been able to say a word that entire trip. I think I would have been so shy and awkward.
Yeah. Same.
Can you not take a shot from your flask, please?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'm fine.
While driving.
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
Eyes are watering in the back seat because it smells so bad.
Yeah. God, cigarette smoke.
Well, the body odor thing too, right?
Body,
what is that? Is that hydro something?
I remember him saying he can't process trimethylene, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, him
any
smelling?
Listeners are doctors. Yeah, yeah. I'd love if you guys could email the show and just explain that.
We're talking about it at gmail.com.
I would love to be a part of that episode that you guys get that same doctor to discuss it.
CJ, can you talk more about Paul Giamatti's podcast?
Yeah, it's called Chinwag.
Yeah.
they talk about like Bigfoot and kind of like ghosts
podcast,
and stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty, he's like a fun dude to listen to. He's an entertaining guy. So just recently they performed at San Francisco Sketchfest, SF Sketchfest, They did a live recording with comedian Chris Gethard. And the reason I bring this up is because Paul Giamatti was on quite possibly one of my favorite episodes of television ever. And he was on the Chris Gethard show back when he had a television show. And I'm kind of spoiling the premise, but I have to get the point across. So Jason Mantzoukas and Paul Scheer join Chris Gethard to kind of host the show with him. The show is it's a live recording where fans call into the show frequently. That's like a big part of the show as they engage with people watching the show. The premise of this particular episode was they had rolled in a New York City dumpster into the studio. And the premise was you call in and guess what's in the dumpster. And if nobody gets it right, they are never going to reveal what was in the dumpster.
Did anyone get it right?
So guess what was in the dumpster?
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
Oh my God.
Is sitting in this dumpster the entire episode silent. They had to secretly, like, he had to enter the dumpster way beforehand so that no one would see him or like get a glimpse of him before. So he's in there for probably like an hour at least. And funny enough, I think you can watch this episode on YouTube for free. People, I think somebody gets so close as to say like a cardboard cutout of Paul Giamatti just like randomly.
Whoa.
And then finally, Paul is like, all right, well, that's close enough. And like pops open the lid and everybody goes nuts. And it's revealed. He's like,
I'd like to get out of here. Happen?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. I don't want this payoff to be non-existent.
Yeah. But that was a stipulation of, I think, Paul Giamatti too, was like, okay, I'm agreeing to do this, but if no one gets it, you have to like roll me back out and I'm never going to tell anybody that it was me. Like, it will so be kept a secret.
Wow.
It's really, really good.
In this movie, I heard his trailer is a New York City dumpster on set.
That's right, yeah.
He just rolled him in.
It's where he's the most cozy, again.
You've never been more cozy than you've been inside of the dumpster. Filled with all the books that were thrown out immediately after that scene.
Yeah. I think he did get like a pillow, I think, and maybe some snacks or something like that. I can't recall exactly.
Yeah. You got to have something for that long.
Yeah. But man, the fact that, yeah, they weren't even really giving real like good clues or hints the entire time. And somebody just happened to like randomly guess that. It's crazy.
Wow.
Now I need to not only that, but watch that and listen to his podcast. I've seen him in other, he's very charming too in all of his interviews, but I can't get over like just how well, I mean, he's a professor, but he does it so well, the way he enunciates everything. And it's just so eloquent. I mean, the whole dialogue of this movie is just so, it seems very sophisticated, but the subject matter is very normal stuff. Like when the kid gets accused of stealing cigarettes. What a baseless accusation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the where they're at a bowling alley in Boston and Paul Giamatti's character is sitting at the bar and with next to like somebody dressed as Santa talking. And I think they even insult like rich people right before Paul Giamatti interacts with him. And then quotes some like Greek philosopher or something like that, and they just deadpan stare.
Just stare open mouthed.
Yeah.
Did you guys know what that bowling was? I have never seen that bowling before. I had to look it up.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called candlepin bowling. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like a very northeastern thing.
Huh. I think that's what they're actually talking about. They're like criticizing, I think, the game of like whether that. What they're playing is harder or another version. Like these kids don't know what real bowling is. And at first I thought they were going to start talking about the war, but no, just bowling.
They were talking about 10. They called it 10 pin. Was
10 pin. Like yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And then for Paul Giamatti to come in, well, you know,
yeah. St. Nick, it would actually be dressed like that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
His signature pipe.
Yeah.
Takes right. a long draw from.
Man, I want to smoke a pipe. I want to be a pipe smoker when I get old. I don't smoke at all right now, but it's going
to
happen at some point.
It's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I think so.
Pretty sure when you reach the age, they give it to you.
Jim Beam. That with a bottle of Jim Beam.
That I do respect. A lot of Jim Beam. Yeah, I can get behind that.
Jim Beam, number one sponsor of the Holdovers.
I got a flask. I'm sure I've done that. I'm sure I've drank Jim Beam out of a flask already in my life.
While smoking.
Have you ever made and making Cherry's Jubilee, though?
Definitely not. In a parking lot.
In a parking lot. That then immediately gets out of hand.
Yeah.
I love that.
On a car. Great placement.
And then all of them, again, driving home.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
With a child that is entrusted to them.
Right.
But let's be honest. The parents wouldn't have really cared. Yeah. I'm talking about his parents for a second. What a pair of assholes.
Yeah.
To be like, you can't come home. We're going to go on our honeymoon, even though the wedding was months ago.
And we had already planned a trip with you, apparently.
Yeah.
And now we're just cutting you out of it.
Yeah, we've decided you're going to bring down the mood.
Wanting to
see. But here's some cash. God. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
From a card that they just signed. Right, no notes. They just signed along what's already written with. Yeah. I think it was like $40 in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. Can't wait to spend this at school.
Yeah, at school. I can't wait to buy more notebooks.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
Where am I going to use this?
Oh, my God.
Little do they know, I'll use it in Boston.
Well, do you guys want to maybe learn a little bit more about the movie?
Yes.
Because
it's
love
time
to.
For...
Hey, did you do that?
That's right. For new listeners, this is the trivia portion of our show where we pit our guest and CJ head-to-head to see who knows the most about what we watch, which early indications say that Matt knows a lot about this movie, so we'll see how this goes. Matt, CJ, are you two ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. First question. Just closest gets the point. How long did the opening credits last? Because it was longer than normal.
Yeah. I did appreciate that it's the overlay and it's not just like black screen with text. It's like, okay,
no, that's the let's worst. Get,
yeah. That every it's movie like, in the 90s was three straight minutes of just nothing as the credits roll.
Right.
God, just
the things that should
to
be
it.
At the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Just up front.
I'll say probably a solid 4 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to go closer to 10 and double that. I'm going to go with 8.
Okay. Yeah, Matt, you're closer. It was 8 minutes, 51 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Yeah, because I remember even the music changes a bit as they kept going. And it was just a score.
I feel like they went to like a different scene and it was still going.
The movie's actually over by the time it gets to that.
Right, right.
The end credits and pop right back up.
That would be incredible if some movie does that. The credits are rolling the entire time.
Just as each new character gets introduced, they get their like real life name next to them.
Yeah.
And they have to like turn around and smile. At
yeah,
the
do the thing.
Yeah.
Eating and then looking up and smiling. Entering the door.
Those are the best. I miss those.
Bring those back. Like, yeah, seriously.
All right. So Matt's on the board with 1 point. Next question. Dominic Sessa, who plays Angus, flubbed a take because he didn't know how to use what outdated device? First person to say it gets the point.
Oh, probably a payphone?
Yeah, it's close enough. It was a rotary phone. He didn't know how to use the rotary phone. I really want to know what he did to it.
Was he just jabbing?
Yeah,
and
already started filming. He's pushing, pushing in the holes.
Is it more of just like, hey Siri, can you connect me to an embassy?
Hello, operator.
Operator, why'd they all talk like that?
Yeah, why did all old movies do that?
Is that like just transatlantic accent they call it or something like that?
That's so weird. People didn't really talk like that back in the day, right? It was only for movies.
We need to bring that back.
I like that too.
Or create it, bring it to life. Off the movies, bring it to real life.
It's crazy. These kids nowadays don't even know what picking up the phone means.
Is that real?
Yeah, no, that is real.
What?
Well, think
you
about
have to
it.
Pick it up to talk. What are you talking about?
No, you answer
it's
the
always
phone.
In their hands.
It's because we used to actually pick it up to answer.
Lift it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the pound sign that all they know is as the hashtag.
The hashtag sign, yeah.
It's like, no, you hit pound. Like, what do you mean pound?
Kids these days, I'm telling you.
Get with the time, old man.
Seriously.
Save a PDF and then come talk to me.
All right. Next question is true or false. First person to shout out the correct answer gets the point before I say it. we've danced around this a little bit, but was this filmed on actual film?
False.
Or, sorry, false. False, it was not. I guess I didn't state that in a way that you could answer true or false, but false is the way that I will accept the answer, because it was not. It was recorded digitally, and then they put all the grain on top of it.
Oh, interesting.
But it was convincing. I thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
I've seen bad fake grain movies before.
They hit that button, and this one, they did not. Yeah. They did use, they exposed it to different types of treatments as best they could to kind of give some of those effects.
Huh.
Same with Poor Things. You guys do see it. They do techniques.
I really want to see it. I have not seen it yet.
Me too. I think that might be what's next, because we keep influencing. we'll see. Next question. this is the second partnership between director Alexander Payne and Paul Giamatti. What was their first film together? This is tough, maybe.
Oh, it was Sideways?
Sideways is correct.
Oh. Good job, Steve.
Which I have not seen, but I hear really good.
I've seen only bits of it. But yeah, it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
You're going to want a nice glass of wine with that, maybe.
Of course.
Even if you're not a wine drinker, by the end of it, you're an alcoholic.
Just exposure through the film.
Yeah.
There's an AA card with every purchase of the movie.
Nice.
Makes us tied up.
All right. Next question. First person to shout out the correct answer gets the point. Which eye did Paul Giamatti wear the fake lazy eye contact in?
Left.
Yeah, left. But Matt got it. No?
No.
Oh, is it the camera like flipped? Something with the...
No, he wears it in both. He alternates between each scene wearing it at a different eye, so you don't really know which one you're supposed to be looking at.
That's really funny.
That's really good. I now have to go back and watch clips to see.
Yeah.
I just remember him saying...
It's this one.
At the end, he does point out story-wise that it's his right eye is the good one. But in the actual film, he switches.
Again, what a little asshole of a kid to be like, which one do I look at?
Yeah, just flat out acknowledging
that. So the lazy eye thing was not in the original script, and Paul Giamatti wore that to freak out Don Excessa when they first got together. And then they both liked it so much that they worked it into the script. And I think it was a really
cool. Incredible.
Really? That's awesome.
A little detail. Yeah.
I guess he immediately regretted, like, wait, what? No. Oh, God. But it's going to freeze to my eyeball.
Yeah.
All right. How are we looking at points, Siege?
Well, neither one of us got that. So it's still tied.
That's one for Ken.
That works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is going to be the tiebreaker then. So what is the Rotten Tomatoes Tomatometer score just closest? This is the critic score in Rotten Tomatoes in percentage. I'm going to give you a count of three, and you shout out what you think the percentage is for critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Y'all got it?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
93.
What'd you say, Matt?
93.
Okay. Matt is closer. 97%
on
Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a nice score.
Dang.
That is a nice
for
score.
Critics.
Yeah.
For critics. That's pretty up there. But Matt, you're a winner. Congratulations.
Reigning champ. I want to do the...
Just for fun, we've skipped the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're going straight to Letterboxd now. So out of 5 to 1 decimal point, what is the Letterboxd score, average rating of people on Letterboxd for the holdovers?
4.7.
Oh, that is okay. That is high for Letterboxd.
That is probably unheard of on Letterboxd. I'll tell you.
I have high hopes for them.
I would hope maybe a solid 4.0.
You're definitely closer, but it's actually higher, 4.2. Like, okay. It is very high for Letterboxd.
Yeah. Wow. Good.
We found like 3, like somewhere around the 3 range is like pretty common for most movies. So anything above a 4 is like incredible. But I think that takes us to our ratings then.
You've heard us debating. We know you've been waiting. So now it's time to hear our ratings.
Matt, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the holdovers for you?
I'm going to go with a strong 8 for me.
Nice.
I wish the opening credits were just 20 minutes longer.
That's it's holding you back. 10. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Other than that, perfect movie.
I had to dock 2 points for that, but yeah. Siege.
For me, I think I'm going to be in the hand-holding club with Matt. I'm going to give it a solid 8 as well. I really enjoyed this. Very cozy. Love to see Paul Giamatti getting some credit where credit's due. Big fan of him. Fun to listen to on his podcast. He's always a great like talk show guest as well.
Yeah, that factors into your rating of the movie.
Yep, totally. Because they got to go promote it, so they're making appearances on Kimmel and stuff like that.
Loves Bigfoot.
Yep.
Extra point for this movie. Okay, cool.
Ken.
For me, you know what? I don't want to get your guys' hopes up, but when I was watching this movie, I thought it's gonna be up there as like a movie I'm gonna rewatch like often, I feel like. Like it's a really good movie.
So it's above a 5.
It's above a 5. Yeah, my bar's kind of
the letterbox.
Yeah. But man, like when I went to rate it on Letterboxd, where you can find me at KDRSC01, I gave it full 5 stars initially.
Whoa.
But then I thought, okay, maybe that's a little too high. So then I dropped down a 0.5 star. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 for me.
Nice.
I think it's a really good movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was very strong, heartwarming, cozy. And yeah, something that is very rewatchable, I feel like. So yeah, 9.
Do you guys get choked up at the end? That was very, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is making me emotional.
Yeah. Can we talk about the ending for a second? I mean, we've gotten far enough. Let's do plugs really quick. And then we're going to talk about the ending just so that people don't zoom out. Matt, do you have anything you want to plug at the end here?
I don't have anything to plug. Looking forward to the future.
All right. CJ, what do we got?
You can follow us on all the things at Overtalking Pod. That's Overtalking P-O-D. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're on all the things. Email us at overtalkingpod@gmail.com. Call or text us at USACAT1591. Go to our website, overtalkingpod.party. It's a real website. You can type in the word Matt to find his previous episodes.
That's right. Oh, no, they're here. The Overtalking Overlords have arrived. There are guests of the Worldly Landlords. The show up at the end of every episode. Remind me to remind you, if you like the show, please go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and rate and review. Reviews help people find this podcast. Also, we spend no money in advertising, so if you like the show, please tell a friend and spread the word. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, the ending of the movie.
We're going into spoiler country.
Yes, spoiler country. Thanks for sticking with us. Okay, so the part that you got choked up at, was that before he drinks the whiskey or... when like they're saying goodbye to each other.
When they're saying goodbye to each other, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They've shared this experience, this journey together. They've both grown, and then they have to say, and then it's over, and they got to say bye.
Yeah,
it's the fact that Paul Giamatti starts getting like choked up, and you're like, oh, if you're gonna cry, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, I mean, I love that it's not even like sad because it's really what's best for both of them, right? Like he gets to stay. Not in military school.
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti gets to actually finally get shaken out of his nest of comfort that he has kind of hidden away himself at for however long.
Mine was the cafeteria woman when she holds out her hand. I was choking up a bit when he grabs it because I feel like for him, military school, that's almost certain death.
Yeah.
You're going to be shipped off. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not just like, oh, I have to go to a shitty school. It's like, oh, I'm being shipped off. And I think part of her realizes that too. And it's just like this heartwarming, nurturing, I get it, I'm here with you.
They're all so nice to each other at the end. They love each other.
That was so sweet.
sometimes. I also want to talk about the very last thing in the movie where he ends up with, and I'm pretty sure this is the whiskey that the head of the school showed at the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
How did he get that? Did I miss that? Or he just had it in his car?
Remember, he had the keys to everywhere. He pops into the office at one point during the holdover period because he has those like custodian keys that can access anything.
That's right.
So yeah, okay. Call back to like...
That's. I love that.
Yeah. That was a
or there's great way to alternate end. Angle when he's leaving. It's just clearly he's holding it back
behind his back.
Mine.
And then he takes a sip as he's at like literal crossroads.
Yeah.
And then he rolls down the window, spits it out and turns left, which I mean, I think I know what that's supposed to mean. But like, do either of you want to take a stab at what you thought?
I'm sure this is incorrect, but I thought I thought it was his moment of like, you know what? I'm not going to drink and drive anymore.
Which, I mean, that's kind of what I
really
thought.
Correct.
Well, I thought it was like, yeah, he didn't want to just go down the alcoholic route because he was drinking pretty heavily in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's true, but never called out. Just that, like, oh, we can smell it on you, and it's just part of your stink.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I thought, too, yeah, it could be that or just kind of a, not that, you know, the principal is aware of this, but just kind of a, like, I'm not even going to actually drink this. I'm just going to like taste it and spit it out and like waste it because like, fuck that guy.
Like a last fuck you to the school.
To the, what is he? Human penis cancer.
That's what he calls it. Yeah.
I also thought it would have been funny. I don't think this is the real answer, but he takes a sip and he's like, oh, this isn't Jim Beam. And then spits it out.
And then a giant Jim Beam logo comes up, except no substitutions.
That's right.
That would be good. I would have even liked to see him maybe just like kind of, yeah, take a swig and then like smash it on the ground like next to him or something. Would have been fun too.
Yeah.
It's like he gets to taste it and be like, fuck this guy. He's just going to smash it.
No, it was heartwarming. And I like how you point out it wasn't inherently sad. It just said you don't want to say goodbye to these characters. You want to see them be buddy-buddy in school during the year and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was very, it was a like kind of a happy, but not really because they're separating, but like a, hey, look at us. We did good. And then go off and enjoy our lives.
It's a good summary of how they affected each other's lives during that one winter break.
Yeah.
So good. Man, I love this movie. It's so good.
It's fun.
I think I'm going to watch, I'm thinking it's going to be my like Christmas rotation, I feel like. I know it's not really a Christmas movie, but like, I think I'm going to put it in there because it's really good. I like it.
I feel like that was the perfect credits roll moment. It was Ken saying over winter break, and then we just have the credits kind of go over this episode.
You have to like replace your normal music with that like soft
the
Hulk sad song walk away.
Be a little abrupt if it was dun, 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 normal ending music.
Yeah, popping along.
Well, that might be a good opportunity to wrap it up. So, Matt, thank you for joining us. This was excellent.
Good to see you guys.
And thank you for wink, wink, picking this movie. So,
definitely.
As we always say at the end of every episode,
too dumb to pour piss out of a boot.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Overtalking Podcast was produced by Ken and CJ, edited by CJ. This week's guest was Matt Alanise. Music by Justin Peters. Logo by Nate Richards. Check out Nate's work on Instagram at Nate Richards Designs.